Raindrops form a puddle. The pieces of a puzzle make a picture that is richer than its parts. As patterns hold their form and bring the lost back to their home, will we see a mending of their broken hearts? Paul and Violet come together, Gordon has his day. Does Johnny's Weet-Bix sponsorship finally find its way? Is this the path it goes today? Who knows and who can say? You never know what's lost or won until it says it's done.
In the process of making, episode 15, Coherence.
It's April 2026. 7 years it's taken to get to this moment from where we began in 2020, with a phone conversation between John and I where John said, "We should try and make something together." "What?" I said. "Dunno," he replied. "Could be anything. Just have some fun. Make some stuff. You make some stuff. I make some stuff. We share it. See what happens." "Okay," I say. "But I tell you what, I'm making this show for kids at the moment called Seven Little Wonders. And it's got an animating idea, Explore 7. So why don't we use that same idea as a way to kick things off?" "Sure," John says. And so it began. And here we are, after 7 years of floating this paper boat through uncharted waters, guided by our seven creative principles, we've arrived at the final episode of this series. Why do I say this series? Does that mean there's more to come? Well, at this stage, it's an acknowledgement that our finale has honed in on the tension between two narrative threads. This compulsion of John's to secure a Weet-Bix sponsorship in a deal involving Gordon Oliver and Sir Paul McCartney that's somehow being brokered by a mysterious girl with a little black dog. And this other narrative thread of Dave attempting to find some resolution to the disappearance of Paul's childhood soulmate, Violet Greenslade. Not to mention Antonio Goldini, Neville Herbert, Special Agent 7, Pierre Depardieu. Our cast of clowns, their stories are still waiting out there through the gossamer, beyond the dell, in the Sevenwell story world. And what about Samuel Sebastian Sevenwell, our AI friend? That story is impending in the here and now of this real world I live in, and my curiosity is being frisioned day by day by the very real AI saga that is playing out at large globally in what appears to be a massive societal upheaval. So, yes, there could be another series. But that's for another time, or not. As Kafka said, the meaning of life is that it ends.
In the gossamer, the answers await.
There is a special place in the night sky. It is an imagining place where all ideas come from. We call it the gossamer.
Dave,
John,
we've done it.
We've done it.
All right, if you want to be like that, you've done it.
Oh, no. Look, I'm not taking responsibility for all of this, especially not the Weet-Bix stuff. No way.
It's not my fault. It's Gordon Oliver. That's all him.
No. What I'm trying to say is that it's more the girl, right?
Yeah. The girl, right, with the dog.
Yeah, I mean, she sorted the deal with Gordon and Paul.
She did. So, So what now?
Well, I figure we should tell the listeners, maybe.
Yes. I mean, this is a podcast, right?
I believe it is.
We should tell them.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Okay, so where do we start?
Well, in Sevenwell, you as Gordon with the girl.
And the dog, and Paulie Paul.
Right. And then Whammo, we've got the story.
All sorted.
Yeah. Look, I've got my hopes, but, you know, I think the girl may have...
Got it sorted?
Look, I was going to say... I think the girl may have connections.
Connections?
Yeah, to, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yes. That's what I think.
You do?
Yes, it makes sense.
Yeah, good. Okay, well, let's tell the story then. Let's see where it takes us.
Hello, friends. Gordon Oliver here. Today, we're cooking some delicious fun in the sizzling Sevenwell saucepan.
We're cooking with seven.
Today, foodie folks, I have some sumptuous breaking news for you all. As you know, friends, from my work as a celebrity chef, if there's a seventh ingredient that will make a difference in almost any recipe, then it would have to be my favourite food, Weet-Bix. It's the go-to special weapon in my Cooking with Sevens armoury. Well, let me just tell you something you may not know. Weet-Bix is not just a weapon, folks. It's the bomb. Come here, closer. Come here, close. Have you noticed something different about me? Yes, I'm a handsome man. But last week, folks, if you look carefully beyond the glow of my radiant personality, you may have noticed that my hair was thinning. But today...
No! Today, you see me with hair. Shining, gleaming, streaming flax and waxen. I'm here to tell you that Weet-Bix is the key ingredient of a revolutionary hair growth solution. We're calling it Revolution Number 7 Hair Restore Elixir. RN7 for short. It was a happy accident, folks. I was experimenting with a new recipe. A delicious combination of Weet-Bix with some other special ingredient that I can't divulge. And I placed it on a shelf above my head. And left the mixture to meld and brew over time. And when I reached up, friends, to get the bowl down, it slipped from my fingers and landed on top of my head. The whole concoction, all over my head. I must say, folks, I laughed. Anyway, I cleaned myself up, and the next day I looked in the mirror, and this, my hair, as you can see. Amazing. And now I share the news with you of this miracle, my friends. You heard it first, from me, Gordon Oliver, celebrity chef and founder of Revolution Number 7 Hair Restore Elixir. Stay tuned, folks. The revolution is coming.
The note she left said, I'm okay, just let it be, I've gone away. Remember the 7th of July.
7 years I've been waiting. The note she left, you know, the 7th of July 2025, the year when it's a full moon again. On that day, I knew it was coming. But I didn't know what was coming. And then Gordon turns up with his tape recording, you know, on a cassette. It was Violet's voice, recorded back then, when she disappeared. I said to him, "Where'd you get this?" He told me about a girl with a little black dog. The girl, she gave it to him, the cassette. And I said to him, "Where is she, this girl? I need to talk to her." Gordon gets all serious and he tells me that she'll meet me on one condition, that I have to endorse the Weet-Bix campaign, this weird RN7 thing, which made sense to me when I thought about it, you know. The sevens with Violet and all, and that date, you know, coming up. So I said to him, if this is about Violet, I'll do anything. Weird, crazy, I'll do it. Anything at all, I'll do it. Ooh.
Number
have it, folks, going number one on the charts this week, a song written by Sir Paul McCartney and sung by the sensational Selena Savon in the lead-up to our live broadcast down at the Sunset Strip Stadium to hear all about the exciting release of RN7 3.0. But first, a word from the man himself, Sir Paul McCartney.
Weet-Bix is seventh logical sunshine with all of the goodness of wheat.
And now we cross to the Sunset Strip Stadium as former celebrity chef, now CEO of RN7, takes to the stage. It's Gordon Oliver.
Hello, Weet-Bix lovers! Thank you! Thank you! Today I am super excited to be here. And I have humbly accepted the responsibility of leading Sevenwell into an unprecedented era of hair growth, health, and happiness. Thank you. I must pay deep tribute to the man behind it all. A genius of his time, my very good friend and associate, Paul McCartney, whose endorsement and recognition of Weet-Bix and its superpowers has made Revolution Number 7 the world-changing phenomenon it is today. Our latest breakthrough. Tonight, I'm announcing RN7 Hair Restore Elixir 3.0. Yes, that's right. Thank you, friends. Thank you. Let me tell you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let me tell you. Our Weet-Bix wonder doesn't just stop at hair. With our latest model, RN7 3.0, users are reporting improved skin complexion, and in some cases, the ability to communicate with household plants! That's the power of 7, folks. It's so good, it breaks the truth barrier! Thank you, and may the 7s be with you.
Radio 77!
And now, radio listeners, as promised, we have Gordon Oliver right here, right now, to answer your questions about this incredible RN7 phenomenon. And first on the line is Georgina. Go ahead.
Hello, Gordon. I'm just wondering how RN7 actually works. Could you explain it for us?
Oh, yes. Hello, Georgina. Look, in this case, Georgina, we're talking about a blend of Weet-Bix, some special ingredients, you know, and, of course, the mystical power of the number 7. It's a recipe for success that's both simple and infinitely complex. As I always say, Weet-Bix is 7 to logical sunshine.
Now, Barnaby is standing by. Your question, Barnaby, is...
I'm just interested to know if there is any scientific evidence to support the RN7's claim.
Ah, Barnaby. Yes, scientific evidence. Look, my friend, we're so beyond science. We're practically science fiction. That's quite good. But if you really crave evidence beyond the truth of my word, which is, of course, unassailable, I'd direct you to the Sanitarium Health Food Research Institute's groundbreaking study, 7 Reasons Why 7 is Better Than Evidence. It's been peer-reviewed by a bunch of randomly selected schoolchildren who know a lot about Weet-Bix.
Yes, well, hard not to be convinced by that. Now we have a question from Justine.
How about the 700% increase in the price of Weet-Bix? I mean, what's going on there?
Yes, I completely understand, Justine. Yes, the demand for Weet-Bix has exploded. Now the world is aware of its miraculous properties, you know, and it is a ridiculously low price for the benefit it provides. But look, we simply don't want anyone to miss out. I mean, look at my head. I mean, can you really put a price on that? Look, I think not.
I must say, listeners, my life has been totally changed by RN7. But look, don't take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Now, one last question, this time from Yol. Yol, what's your question?
Hello, Gordon. Look, do you ever worry about the ethical implications of RN7?
Ethical implications. My friend, my ethical standards are so high, as you know. They are on the seventh floor of moral responsibility. Every decision I make is run by our ethics committee, comprising of the very same group of school children that function as our peer assessment team. So they are very well qualified. If it doesn't pass their 7-point crunch test, it doesn't see the light of day. Thank you, my friends, for your beautiful questions, and may the sevens be with you all. Here, there, and everywhere.
Radio 77!
And that's it for today's special on RN7 3.0. Our thanks to Gordon Oliver, and there's only one more thing to say, and that is, go and get some.
Your hair is gonna grow, your hair is gonna grow. Revolution number 7, go and get some. Let everybody know, Revolution number 7, go and get some. It's gonna fix your baby, it's sunny.
Weet-Bix is seventological sunshine with all the goodness of wheat.
Well, mate, what do you think? I reckon it's great. I mean, she's just, I don't know.
A girl with a dog.
Yeah. You see what she's done? Gordon's the Sam Altman of Sevenwell. But the weird bit, Dave, is it's worked.
Like, what do you mean?
Look under my hat.
What?
Take my hat off.
Okay. Oh, holy moly, Hairy Mary. Whoa, John.
Good, eh?
Oh, wow.
Hair there and everywhere, right? When this gets out, man, our podcast is going to go nuts.
Hang on. We're not there yet. I mean, we've got all of this Paulie and Violet stuff to sort out yet. I mean, that's not sorted.
Maybe that's where this comes in.
What comes in?
Hang on. This.
A book.
Yeah. Look at the title.
You're joking.
Nah.
Where'd you get this?
Guess.
The girl?
Yep. She gave it to me after we got back here.
So where is she now?
Dunno. Wandering out there somewhere back in Sevenwell, maybe. I don't know. She said there's one more part to the story. Chapter 7.
Of the book?
Dunno. I haven't looked.
Huh. Look here. Chapter 7. How it all ends. This is weird.
Well, are you going to read it?
I am.
No, out loud for the listeners.
All right. So you reckon that's what...
Yep.
Okay. Chapter 7. How it all ends. The full moon rose over Hatfield. Through the window of Aunt May's loft, moonbeams lit the hopeful face of Paulie Paul, as he sat, guitar in hand, with Aunt May on the evening of the 7th of July, 2025. Wow.
Keep going.
On Gordon's advice, Paul had arrived at the Hatfield house at 5 p.m., setting up the loft according to Aunt May's directions. 7 candles in a circle, just as Violet had done on the night that Paulie had failed to turn up. "She'll come," Paulie said hopefully, "won't she?" Aunt May was quietly spoken.
What will be, Paulie. Who knows?
Since receiving it, Paul had played the cassette tape over and over again. It was Violet's 21-year-old voice talking to Red on her birthday that night, back 7 years ago, on this same day of the year, recorded in this very room. Part of it was etched in his brain. Paulie's been swallowed up, Mum, leaving just the idea of him for fans to scream at. I want to be a writer. I want to make worlds of my own. That's what I'm going to do now, Mum. I'm going to make worlds. My worlds. It was exactly 7 p.m. when Paulie heard the garden gate open, and through the window he saw a shadow of something small and black. And then the girl appeared out of the darkness, the girl and her little black dog. Aunt May greets her at the door. Paul hears their footsteps on the stairs leading up to the loft. The girl smiles warmly. Hello, Paulie, she says, like she knows him, but Paul has never seen her before. The girl offers her hand in greeting, and Paul responds, but as he takes her hand, he feels part of himself being drawn out of himself, and he's being taken through a gap. It's the only way he can describe it, through a gap, and he's there in a heartbeat, part of him at least. Everything around him is purple in colour, like an avalanche of ultraviolet light all over, and there's sparkles in the air and on the ground, in the sand, and they're standing next to a picnic table under a big tree in this strange purpley world. And there's a little cottage up on the hill, not far away, and he can see two men looking out at them through a large window. That's us.
Look!
What?
Out the window!
Oh, man!
What happens next?
What? Oh, in the book?
Yeah, in the book. See if, you know, what happens in the book is what happens next out there.
Ah, yes, right. Okay. Where are we? Here we are.
Great. Let's go.
Welcome to the Gossamer, the girl says. Have a seat. What is this place? Paulie asks. It's an imagining place, she tells him. A place between stories. Sometimes, if you're lucky, they join up. Me and Violet? He asks. Will I see her? The girl smiles and walks away without answering. The dog follows her up to the cottage where the men are watching at the window, and when she arrives at the door, she turns back towards Paulie and calls out, Paulie, close your eyes. So he does. He closes his eyes. He sits there with his eyes closed in this strange in-between place, and he hears her knock on the door.
There she is. This is actually happening. G'day. Again. You've been busy.
I see you've been reading the story.
And I get to meet you at last. Hey, little fella.
Missy. She's a girl.
Okay. G'day, little miss. How are you?
She likes you.
She's beautiful.
You're a beautiful little dog, aren't you, little missy?
You know, I once had a little dog called Missy, same breed, same colouring.
Really?
Yeah, really. So how is that? How does this work? You, the dog, I've never really understood. You look kind of familiar to me, but I don't know why. And now this book by Violet Greenslade, and the story happening as we read it. What is it? What's going on?
Who knows? The wonders, maybe.
You know, when you think about it, like, who is anyone? Who are you? Who am I? What are we? You know, does it matter? I mean, we're just stories, aren't we?
in a life, in a podcast. That's it. That's what matters. The story. I reckon you're the muse.
The muse?
Yep. She's the muse. That's what I reckon.
And maybe I'm just part of the story. Look, out there, under the elm. Paulie, you can open your eyes now.
Violet. Violet Greenslade, it's you.
It's good to see you, Paulie.
You look different.
You too, Paulie. What's with all the, you know?
It's me new air. Do you like it?
It's shiny.
Gleaming, fluxing, waxing. Sorry, I didn't make it to your Aunt May's back then, you know.
But hey, you made it this time, didn't you? Under the full moon, day 7.
Month of July. Happy birthday, Red.
We said we'd sing for her, remember?
You got a song?
Yeah, it's our song. We made it together.
What? Scrambled eggs?
Yeah, in your dreams. This one's for you, Red.
Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday, Mum.
Happy birthday, Red.
As children, we were stories in the night under the moon. But soon the days would have us go our separate ways. But now our story beats again, together in the gossamer. And 7 years have gone along the way. Now we're here together in the gossamer. We hold each other
stronger for
as long as we are back where we belong. Now we're here together
in the gossamer.
We hold each other
stronger
for as long as we are back
where we belong.
The tinsel man still wanders in tranquility, and Red is in the moonbeams watching over you and me. And that's our story, so it goes.
And that's our story done.
And that's our story, so it goes. And it's only just begun again.
It's only just begun. We are stories.
Episode 15. That's it. The end. But is it? The gossamer is still there, unfurling its mysteries. The girl with the little black dog is still wandering between stories, looking for meaning to emerge through the connections she makes. The Seven Wells story world is still spinning madly with its cast of characters eager to perform. AI Sam is wondering how his relationship with Dave might evolve. And we, John and I, both the fictional and real parts of us, are still wondering what's more to come. Because creativity is a mysterious creature, and our roadmap is as long as a lifetime. So that's the thing about endings. They're not really endings at all, are they? They're just the place where one story stops so another can begin. But is it a success, this thing we've made? Rick Rubin suggests you can't measure artistic success in terms of popularity or money or critical acclaim or audience numbers. All of those things, he says, are subject to variables we can't really control. Rick says, and I love this, success occurs in the privacy of the soul. When you've made something,
deeply meaningful and personally fulfilling from nothing, that's success. When you stand apart from it and see it and feel it and wonder how you could have made this something from nothing, that is success. When you're willing to let it go, to have it shared as something you've given your heart and soul to fully, fueled by your unquenchable interest and curiosity, that is success. Artistic success occurs in the privacy of the soul. Until we meet again, dear listener, in whatever form this Seven Well saga takes next, remember, creativity isn't about knowing where you're going. It's about being brave enough to begin, foolish enough to continue, and wise enough to recognize when you've arrived somewhere worth calling an end, or a new beginning. Even if that somewhere is a purple-hazed gossamer world where Weet-Bix is currency and the moon holds all our secrets. This has been In the Process of Making. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking this journey with us.
In the Process of Making is conceived by Dave Brown and John Bode and presented by The Paper Boats. You'll always find us on the website at sevenwell.org or on all your favourite podcast platforms. And did you know
that this entire podcast series, all 15 episodes, thousands of creative decisions, a million moments of doubt and discovery began with two people saying yes to an idea? That's the real seventological sunshine. The miracle isn't in the number seven itself, but in the human capacity to find meaning in randomness, to make connections where none existed, and to create something from nothing together.
If you don't go there, you'll never know where it will lead. If you don't go there, you'll never know what it will show. If you don't go there, you'll always stay in the place that you are. If you don't go there, you'll never reach that unreachable star. Fly to the line of horizons and then go beyond. There's nothing to lose, so get lost in the heather and yawn. Find what you find in return to make sense of it all. Bring home a glimpse of the right in its right. You are my love and my guide, so keep me close by your side. Together we'll get there, but never arrive. And we'll sink and we'll swim as the moon ebbs and flows with the tide. Fly to the line of horizons and then go beyond. There's nothing to lose, so get lost in the hither and yon. And find what you find and return to make sense of it all. Bring home a glimpse of the right in its right. And it's fall. If you don't go there, you'll never know where it will lead. If you don't go there, you'll never know what it will show. If you don't go there, you'll always stay in the place that you are.
If you don't go there, you'll never reach that unreachable star. You are my love and my guide, so keep me close by your side. Together we'll get there, but never arrive. It will sink, it will swim as the moon ebbs and flows with the tide. And you are my love and my guide. Stay by my side. Stay by my side.
Oh, and yes, I need to tell you, Mr. Weet-Bix called John today to offer a sponsorship deal for season number 2.
So true.